Well, hi there. We're Inside Vancouver Opera, and my name is Ashley Daniel Foote. We're honoring Black History Month with a special deep dive into the late, great BC music teacher and choir conductor Jim Johnson, or James L. Johnson, or JJ, or Mr. J, as he was known affectionately to his students, where he taught in high schools all across BC, from Prince George to Nanaimo, to Lake Cowichan, to Brentwood College, Shawnigan Lake School on Vancouver Island, and where he retired from Cowichan Secondary in 1988. Some of you may not know this, but I also grew up in the Cowichan Valley, and I remember as a youngster going to concerts by a choir called the Cincinnati Singers. Now, maybe this won't surprise you, but I was a precocious kid, and I would wear a tuxedo, and I would go and sit in the front row, and right after those concerts were over, I'd go up to Jim, and I'd say, "Congratulations, that was an amazing concert." Jim was also a Black man, and as a mixed-race Canadian myself, I was always very, very excited to see another Black person in a place where you often wouldn't see Black people. And Jim was proud to share his musical heritage with his audience and with his community. A few years ago, I had the great honor to make a radio documentary about Jim and his wife, Sheila, who's also a choral conductor. They graciously invited me into their house, and well, I just want you to hear Jim talk.
I grew up in a family of eight. There were five girls and three boys, and it was a singing family. And from the time I was three, I didn't know that I couldn't sing. I thought singing was like breathing, and it was for me. So I can't see where there was any beginning, and the frightful thing is that I can't see where there's an ending.
In charting the story of a community, it's funny to think that we'd be focusing on the son of a Southern Baptist preacher and a refined English teacher who kept the sharps and the flats in the right place and started one of the most celebrated amateur choirs in British Columbia's history.
I think one of the special things about the Cincinnati Singers was their a cappella singing and the way the sound used to surround us, and we were just bathed in this beautiful, beautiful music. It was special for all of us.
You know, music, if it doesn't move you, if you don't bring those words alive, if you don't put the audience where you are in the song, then you might as well give up and go home.
Starting a choir is a bit like starting a family, except more stressful because you have to keep 30 plus people interested in working together once a week, or twice a week. Can you imagine an amateur choir that has met twice a week for almost 30 years? Choir member Judy McLeod.
Because they don't have a family up here, we've sort of become their family. We don't pay dues. We all do it because of our love of music and the love of doing a good job.
And making sure that it's a good job can be hard work.
How do you tell someone who's been singing for 20 years or so that they can't sing anymore, that they can't add anything? I said, you can't just do as the farmer does and take them out in back of the barn and shoot them. Sometimes you find when you work with groups who are older that you must remind them that we must sing pictures. We must sing human experiences. We must sing things that are universal. But somehow they haven't been taught that, or they've forgotten it. And once they get that, you separate choirs from a group of singers. Every time I feel the spirit
moving in my heart, I will pray. Yes. Singing pictures, not words, have become tenets of Jim and Sheila's musical philosophy. Choir member Pat Gunn.
They want you to sing from the heart and with emotion, not just with technical ability. They're always saying, sing pictures. Sing stories, don't just sing the words. What do you think the song's about?
There was a lady on my street, Mrs. Barnes. When I was about nine, I used to pass by her house all the time singing. And she used to call me the singing boy.
I was born and grew up in a town called Hitchin in Hertfordshire, just, 30-odd miles north of London.
I went back to visit 15, 20 years ago, and she was still living, but she heard me coming out, and inadvertently I was singing. And she said, she couldn't see, "Is that you? Is that the singing boy?" You know, I said, "Yes, Mrs. Barnes, it is me, and I'm visiting my parents." Oh, she did a little dance, I tell you. It was such a part of me.
My father had never had very much opportunity to learn music. He did have a few violin lessons when he was a small child. I don't know how they managed that, but it didn't go on for very long. But he could play just about anything by ear. And all through my childhood, I remember him playing the piano by ear. Everything was in F sharp major. And I can't remember him ever playing anything in a minor key. I guess maybe he couldn't figure it out in F sharp. Anyway, and he played that, and he played the piano accordion. So we had music going on around the house for the whole of my childhood.
In the last few years, in addition to the Concenti Singers, Sheila has started a youth choir.
I always tell them the choir is like a cake. With a cake, you start with all sorts of different ingredients. They all have a different texture. You have to blend. Well, that's what we have to do. You are all the raw ingredients.
In the end, it's the story of a journey across borders and into hearts.
Music can be or is like a disease. Once you have got it, you've got it. The singing boy that went past by Mrs. Barnes' house every day had been completely infected with a desire to continue with music. And I don't apologize for that, mind you. And every other school where I have taught since I started teaching, I have started a choir. Every other one. And most of I go into town and there'll be people say, "Hey, Mr. J, you know, how you look? Oh, I remember you. Yeah, I was in your choir in grade this, that, and the other, you know." And so something happened, something affected me that caused me to say, "Mrs. Barnes, who called me the music man, was right. I was exactly where I should have been."
I still treasure that moment I got to sit in the kitchen with Jim and Sheila and talk to them about music and hear about Mrs. Barnes and hear him smile with delight as he talked about those beautiful memories. That was a documentary called The Musical Lives of Jim and Sheila Johnson, and a postscript. Jim passed away in 2012 after a long and wonderful life dedicated to music and education, things that are very important to us here at Vancouver Opera. And in 2023, Sheila retired. And the Concenti Singers in the Cowichan Valley are, sadly, no more. But their memory lives on, and on this Black History Month, we honor Jim, and we think about the power of music as a tool for storytelling and connection. And that's our show for today, and I'll see you at the opera.